going to share with you why you are phenomenal, regardless of your age. And I am also going to share with you some of the details of the Destined Dream Retreat, give away some tickets. And yes, we're going to talk about phenomenal youth as well. All right. So seven lies that you've been told. Maybe not been taught these things, but maybe you have caught these things. How many of you know that our values so many times are they're caught rather than taught? Maybe someone didn't actually say to you, you're dumb or you're not smart or, you know, whatever. And maybe they did. Maybe you were bullied as a kid. Maybe you're a younger person right now that people have said mean things to you. But maybe they haven't said them directly, but somehow you got these lies in your head and you somehow have been telling yourself these lies. So I'm going to share with you the seven lies that people tell themselves, people have been told, and the way that we think of ourselves. And we have to understand where lies come from. You know, we've already talked about the fact that God made you, that truth comes from God, and the enemy is the liar. And the negative thoughts, the ants, the automatic negative thoughts, all the lies that go into your mind are from the dark side, from the enemy, from our fallen state here on this earth. This is not who you are. And so first, I want to expose the lies. Then I'm going to share the truth with you, and I'm going to share with you why the things that I'm sharing with you are true. All right? Number one is you're not good enough to be successful. Now, again, we have to define success. So success is, in my mind, the clearest way to say this is success is becoming the person that God created you to be. And of course, as we talked about yesterday in the spiritual session, is that God created you for the same reason that my son and my daughter-in-law, Susie, had Gigi. Because you want someone to love, you want someone to love you. And so the first lie is that you're not good enough. Now the challenge is, and so success is becoming the person you're created to be. And so that's the ironic thing about it is that we spend a lifetime learning who we are. And what did you hear over and over and over? I can't believe this is almost over. It seems like we just started, but we had Dr. Caroline Leaf yesterday. She talked about, you know, who we are. We had Jim Cathcart today talked about who we are, our identity, and everything that's wrapped up into that. And so God made you to be successful. But he didn't make you to be necessarily a multimillionaire. He didn't necessarily make you to be famous. He didn't necessarily to make you to be the most powerful person on earth. But he does call specific people to specific things. Some people, he wants them to be famous because they need to touch a lot of people. Some people he creates to make a difference in just one life. There is no person that's better than the next person. Here in the USA, you know, we think about our Constitution, Declaration of Independence, that we are all created equal. Human beings are all created equal, and that means we have equal value. And of course, at the same time, we're all unique. And I think the more we learn about our unique identity, it's amazing. That's why I call it phenomenal you. You are a phenomenal product, created to be phenomenal, to do phenomenal things, have a phenomenal life. So we'll unpack that. Now, the challenge here is that in religion, remember that Christian religion many times is the biggest roadblock and stumbling block to a relationship with Christ, with God. And in fact, there's a passage in the Bible where a rich man came to Jesus and he said, Lord, what do I need to do to be saved? And he called Jesus good. And Brenda Sell could probably give me the exact scriptures. I just thought about this. I didn't look up the scripture. But he said that, you know, please don't call me good. Please don't call me good, because there are none good. And if Jesus can't be called good, then who can be good? Well, through him, we can become good. We can become valuable. We can become phenomenal. We already are phenomenal, but that relationship with him is what makes us, gives us the power to be the person that we're created to be. So I'll cover that again in just a minute. So when we say good, we really, what we mean is valuable enough. And we're all good enough to be successful, because success is simply becoming the person that you're created to be. And isn't it ironic that we spend our whole life becoming that person, understanding how to love God, understand how to love other people, and understanding how to understand ourselves. The second lie is that you aren't smart enough to be successful. You aren't smart enough to be successful. Well, again, it all comes to how we define success, and what have we learned about our phenomenal minds over the last 2 days? That you have a brilliant mind, and if you know Christ, you have the mind of Christ. That's one of the things that I have in my book, Think and Be Phenomenal. Is that's one of the characteristics of your identity in Christ. You have the mind of Christ. In other words, the Spirit of God comes in you, renews your mind, and gives you the mind of Christ. You become a new creature. It says you've been transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light. We have become a new creature. That salvation is done. There's no works to be done. You don't have to be good enough. You just have to accept the free gift. But when you do that, this is the irony, when you do that, then the sanctification process begins. And sanctification means that I sometimes forget who I am, and I start acting out of the old man instead of the new man. The new man is in Christ. The new man has the mind of Christ. The new man is smart. The new man understands, has knowledge, gets experience through the sanctification process, and has wisdom. Number three, you aren't attractive enough to be successful. One of the tragedies of our society, I mentioned it earlier, is the celebrity status. That, you know, we have to have makeup, we have to alter our pictures, we have to do all these things to look amazing on social media. Now, I have to say that it's important to groom ourselves. It's important to take care of ourselves. It's important and I'm not here to judge anybody when it comes to makeup or anything like that, but it's a real problem in our society. And when it comes to girls, when it comes to women, I mean, there is just so much judgment. I talk about this some in my Power of Community book, and it's all about the exterior. But what did Dr. Leaf say yesterday? That even our brain and even our body is 1% of our makeup. 99% is our mind. And what you're going to learn a way to reframe that. so that you never have to judge your value based on how you look. Number four, you aren't connected enough. Well, I don't have the friends that Howard has. I don't have the friends that Zig Ziglar had. I don't have the friends that I'm not connected like Jim Cathcart. I'm not connected like Ellen Rohr. I'm not connected like some of the other people, like Michelle Prince. I don't travel around the world like they do. Listen, what I love about every single person that has been on this virtual platform that's phenomenally successful is that they started with nothing. We might think, well, I didn't come from the right family. I'm not important enough. I'm not from an important family. You know, I'm not one of the Joneses. I'm not Rockefeller. I'm not related to Donald Trump. I don't come from an important family. Zig Ziglar came from the second poorest family in Yazoo City, Mississippi. I was just on a phone call just while Ellen was talking. I went and visited with Gigi, and I got on a call. A gentleman heard me on Donald Miller's podcast, and he needs some coaching. And Christian got me connected with him. And he was just talking about his respect for Zig Ziglar, saw him back in the day, and just couldn't say enough about Zig Ziglar. And he said that he heard my story, and he heard me on the podcast, and just talked about authenticity. And if there's anything that I love about the Ziglars, I love about Tom, I love about the Ziglar family, and that I loved about Zig Ziglar, is that they were the same people backstage as they were on stage. And you don't have to come from an important family. You don't have to have a name. You don't have to have a degree. I barely got out of high school. You aren't rich enough to be successful. Well, I don't have a lot of money. Doesn't matter. The fact is that as Jim Cathcart shared earlier, as Brian Tracy shared with us when he was with us, that you have, what did Jim Cathcart say? He said, we have, this generation has more knowledge available to us than all previous generations in the entire world combined. And the knowledge to be able to make money. Now, we have to understand money is not the most important thing in life, but it is reasonably close to oxygen on the gotta have it scale, as Mr. Zig Ziglar said. Listen, you may say, well, I don't really care about money, but the thing is, if you lost your job or your business was closed down, and you know, we do have some of those people in the community. I was texting with one of the folks that I consult with from time to time. I go and speak for her, and I have gone and done programs for her and her team and her community. And she was texting me about something else. And I said, hey, how's your business? And she was just like, man, we're shut down for 8 weeks. We're still at only 25%. And, you know, I was like, well, did you get your PPP? She said, we got it at the 11th hour. We were one of the first to submit. And our bank took care of the big companies before taking care of the smaller companies. And they lost our paperwork, and you know, and the thing is that, you know, I'm having mercy on my bankers because I know what they've gone through. But it finally came through, and she's like, I don't understand why God just, you know, he makes me suffer all the way to the last, always seems to do that. And I said, well, you're his child, and he knows you better than anybody does. So maybe when you get to heaven, he'll tell you. But the thing is this is the other thing I love about the people who have shared with us. They didn't start out rich. They didn't have a silver spoon in their mouth. Most of them were just average folks. I didn't have any money. I started my business with $3,000 that was given to me and Denise with wedding money. The seventh lies is, I'm not free enough to be successful. If I just had more time, if I lived here or had this or had that, if I was able to do this, if I was able to do that, and it's just not true. Again, you can learn anything you want to learn. You can do anything that you want to do. You have all the freedom to do that. And I'm going to show you the truth behind these seven lies. God has set you free. He created you to be the person that He wants you to be. He knows your uniqueness. He knows what's good for you. He knows that this person is going to prosper this way, and this person is going to react better to this situation. He's the ultimate coach. So I want you to just be straight up front with me, okay? The only people who are going to see this is just type this in just to the panelists. It doesn't even have to be to the other attendees. Here's what I want to know from every single person who is watching and listening right now. If you're doing something in the background, you're cooking or you're texting or you're walking around your house or whatever, I want you to stop right now and I want you to come to the monitor, to the keyboard, and I want you to type in if you have ever either told yourself one of these lies and tell me which one it was, and or that you've been told one of these lies and you accepted it. All right? So type it in for me real quick. I'm not going to share your name. We're the only ones that'll see it, but type it in the chat right now. Keep it coming. Wow. I'm not going to mention any names, but just let me share with you what the panelists, our coaching team, is looking at right now. Yes. Yes to all of them. Not attractive enough. All of them. I've told myself all of them. Yes, number two. Yeah, not smart enough. All of the above, both. I've told myself. Other people have told me. I've been told I'm not good enough. I'm told that I'm not smart enough or attractive enough, not rich enough. Told myself I'm not connected enough. All of them at one time or another. Number two and number seven. Not good enough. It was holding me back this whole time. Inner Circle showed me the truth. And that's what we're about to get into. Someone said I was called stupid in the third grade. And I fought that belief for years. I used to believe I was not a good leader, and being a leader was all naturally given. Self-belief sometimes is an issue. Imposter syndrome, a little bit, I suppose, but I'm working through it by trying to understand this emotion and know that action cures fear. Drake Barron. Drake, how old are you? He's given me permission to share this. Are you, you're Tanya's boy, right? I was told these lies constantly as a kid and in my early adult life and believed them to be true until I got my life right with God. I believed all those lies. Someone said, I was told that I'll never amount to anything. Listen, if there's just one thing, let me get this where I can. If there's just one thing that if Inner Circle and my work accomplish one thing, that would be that everybody that we serve would understand their value. They would understand the seven truths that I'm about to share with you. After all, this was Zig Ziglar's mission. You know, in my book, Discover Your Phenomenal Dream Life, I talk about understanding your potential, understanding the problem that you want to solve in the world, what do you cry about, your passion, what you love to do, what you dream about, what you talk about all the time. And with those clues, you find your purpose in life. And again, that is the whole key. You heard it from every single person who was here. Finding your purpose in life. And I shared in that book that the problem that Mr. Zig Ziglar wanted to solve was a self-image problem. And his passion was writing and speaking and teaching. And that's what he did. And he dreamt of a world where filled with people who were confident, who were positive, who knew who they were and whose they were. And all of us in the Ziglar Legacy Certified Circle, that's what our mission is. So let's talk about the truth. The truth is that, and this, I want you to proclaim it. All right. I'm going to tell you the truth. I want you to proclaim it. Now, many of you have heard these things before. You've heard it several times on these 2 days. Have you accepted it yet? Have you accepted the truth that you are phenomenal? You are a phenomenal product. Zig Ziglar said you're born to win. God created you to be a winner, to not win at everything, really to win. Let me rephrase that. His definition of winning, his definition of success, his definition of fulfilling the mission, the purpose that you came here to fulfill. Jesus had a purpose. His purpose, he said, was to come and save what was lost. What was lost? Our identity. Our identity. We were lied to. You're no good. You can't do anything right. You're stupid. No, you're a child of God. And he came to reconcile the world. The work of the church is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, the ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile people to the truth. You are a phenomenal product, created to be phenomenal, to do phenomenal things, and to have a phenomenal life. You're born to win, designed for accomplishment, engineered for success, and endowed with the seeds of greatness. After all, God don't make no junk. What I love, that I love, that I love, is that Esther May, who will be 13 on Sunday, that Janie, 6 years old, they're typing this stuff in before I even shared it. I share the lie, and they were already giving me the truth. That Olivia, it gave me her acronym last night, and one of them, BTPCOG. That's better than phenomenal, child of God. I'm a COG. I'm a cog in God's purpose. Number two, you are smart. I thought I was a bad kid. I thought I was dumb. I look at some people. As a matter of fact, when I started studying Dr. Caroline Leaf, and I thought, my goodness gracious, I'm going to do an interview with her. I'm going to have her, like, I did an interview a couple weeks ago, and I was like, this woman is so intelligent. But what did she share with us? What did she reveal to us? What she revealed to us is that we are all brilliant. We've all been given brilliant minds. What a tool that is that she's holding in her hand. The human mind, actually a brain, but the mind that we get when we have life. Not supposed to give you all of those at once. But I'll give them to you. You are beautiful. You are connected. You are positioned properly. You are important. You are wealthy. And you are free. Let's look at beautiful. This is a book written by a mother-daughter church right here in Houston. And the subtitle is Making Peace with Your Reflection. What we need to understand is that every single human being on planet Earth is a beautiful, amazing, phenomenal thing on the inside. Listen, this whole body of ours, it gets scarred up, scratched up. We go through a lot of stuff. You ever had a piece of fruit, and that piece of fruit, take an orange. It's all scarred up, scuffed up. I mean, the skin is rough. But man, you open it up, it's just delicious. And then on the other hand, you might find an orange that's like the most gorgeous thing that you've ever seen. It's almost like plastic. Doesn't even look real. And you open it up, and it's just rotten inside. See, it's what's on the inside that counts, not the outside. Scripture says this: recognize no man according to the flesh. Recognize no man according to the flesh. There's only two ways to look at someone. Someone who's separated from God right now, and someone who knows God. And every single human being can be recognized as a powerful, phenomenal creation of Almighty God. What do you think would happen if we really and truly approach life that way? We would never talk about the way somebody looks or the way they act. You know, the way God sees you? God sees you as that little newborn baby, like Ellen Rohr just showed Lulu. Of course, she's a new grandmother. I mean, you know, who's more obnoxious? When Gigi was born, I was showing pictures all. I was like, who's more obnoxious? I don't know if it's the network marketing person who, you know, hey, I got a product, I'm in a new business, and, you know, come to my meeting. I don't know who's more obnoxious, either the network marketer or the new grandparent. Okay, so I probably get a level 10 for being obnoxious. I mean, everybody doesn't love your grandbaby like you do, or your child like you do. You know? But us grandparents, we still preach the message. We keep showing up. I had Gigi just a second ago. But the point is what if we looked at every human being, every other human being, just like you, when you laid eyes on your firstborn child for the first time? That's how God sees you. And he just wants the best for you. You are beautiful inside. Yeah, maybe you've been through some pain. Maybe you've been told some lies. And that's the real problem. The real problem is what you let in here. You are connected. The group of people, the inner circle, our coaching team, our speakers, our members, there's probably hardly anybody on this planet that you couldn't, if you needed to, that you could get in touch with, that if you really needed to. Whatever you need is there. Remember, what do you need to know? Who do you need to learn it from? And how do you do that? You do that by helping people, okay? If Zig Ziglar said that if you go out looking for a friend, you may not find one. But if you go out being a friend, you'll have lots of friends. So we have to stop focusing so much on ourselves. And any of us, especially if you're in marketing, you can err on the wrong side. And then somebody thinks, well, you're arrogant, you're all about yourself. And there's a certain level of positioning that you need to do in marketing. One of the reasons that people aren't good at marketing is they are uncomfortable talking about themselves, but you can be too humble. You know, you got to sell something, and you got to, I love the way that Donald Miller puts it in the story brand. In a story brand book, that you position yourself as the guide. Well, position yourself as the guide, you have to show empathy. You have to show that you care. You have to show that authenticity, but you also have to demonstrate your authority. What did Michelle talk about? The power of authority. But The coolest thing is that you can demonstrate the power of authority through how you have helped other people and through helping people. Not what you know, but how much you care. You are connected. And here I go giving you all the ones again. I don't want you to see that one yet. Okay. You are important. Remember what I said to you just a second ago. You are important. If you aren't important, why did God put you here? If that was an important work for you to do, why are you here? See, this is the reason that people are disengaged, people are depressed, people are unhappy, because they don't understand the meaning of life. Being happy isn't having everything that you want. Being happy isn't being, a millionaire. Being happy isn't having more friends than someone else. Being happy isn't even doing what you want when you want it. That's another definition of success. Man, hey, you're successful. You can do what you want to do when you want to do it. Wake up call. Success is doing what God wants you to do, when he wants you to do it, and how he wants you to do it. And he will give you the information. He will give you the he'll send the people. The man I was talking to just a second ago is probably going to become an Inner Circle member, hopefully today, was talking about how he learned from Zig Ziglar that Zig Ziglar said that a coincidence is God's way of staying anonymous. I cannot tell you. Maybe I'll get to write a book on this, or maybe I will write a book on this one of these days. We need to write volumes and volumes and volumes of phenomenal God stories in the Inner Circle of how people, we all have had a problem and someone showed up that God, like Mark Ehrlich, just put God on that beach for me. When I think about my role with Ziglar, I often think about this. I met Zig Ziglar right after he fell down those stairs and bumped his head. Not before. Well, I met him before, but I didn't get to know him. I didn't get involved with Ziglar. I met him once before. The entire story would have been different had I called on Ziglar 5 years before when I first met. I called it FTI. I continued to fail to implement. I failed to implement. I didn't make the call. I didn't make the call. I didn't make the call. And maybe I should have. But the point is that if God is in it, he's not, you know, standing over you. If we have the right image, and this is one of the reasons we have such a poor self-image, is we never had a father who loved us, that we knew loved us. My son is a phenomenal father to that little girl right there, and speaking life into her that you are beautiful. You are smart. You are kind. You're important. You're loved. You're blessed. And guess what? We're wealthy. Don Schmidt in Amsterdam showed me this a couple of years ago when I was in Holland. Isn't this funny? So, Abraham Maslow is famous for the hierarchy of needs. And everybody wants needs survival. Then they want safety and security. Then they need to belong to a tribe. That's where you know belonging comes in and community comes in. And then they need achievement and importance and esteem and that positive self-image and to feel like what they're doing is important. And then at the top of that pinnacle is creativity and problem solving and really self-actualization, becoming that person that you were created to be. Even though this is funny, it's true. That what you have in your hands right now, an internet connection, you can connect to anybody on the planet, you can connect to any piece of information on the planet, you can start a business, you can buy a business, you can sell a business, you can write a book, you can read books, you can do anything that you want to do. You are free. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to say that you're free to just do God's work. We often wonder, well, why did God give us a free will? And then we just go and blow it. We have the freedom to do whatever we want to do. We can do whatever we want to do with this body. We can do whatever we want to do in our life. He gave us our own free will. Why? It's hard to understand. The way I personally understand it, it would be easy for God to make a robot. It'd be easy for God to make a robot. He made all these beautiful, wonderful, amazing animals, and they have instincts, and they obviously have some, you know, feelings, and that they get scared and all that kind of stuff. But we have something different. We have a mind, creative mind. We've been made in the image of God, and He gave us our own free will. So it's true. You can just go do whatever you want to do. Kids, do whatever you want to do. When you grow up, get out of your parents' house, you're free. But the question is, will what you do, will your freedom that you pursue, will that take you to where you need to be? Let me see how I'm doing on time. We're free. But what if we chose the ultimate freedom? And that ultimate freedom was to pursue the life that God has for us. Well, Howard, I don't know what that is. You don't know what that is yet, but in a community of people of faith, and through prayer, and through practice, and through learning, and through the journey, I believe that you're going to find it. It may be late in life. What can you do in the meantime? In the meantime, hey, listen, have a positive self-image. Learn what you need to learn right now. Understand that you are beautiful on the inside. Be a friend. Be a friend. Understand that you have as much value as Donald Trump. Understand that scripture says that we should be content with food and clothing. I just ask that he gives me a beach to go with it. If I'm going to survive just on, you know, food and clothing, can I be just a little extra ask? Can I at least be on my favorite beach, even if I'm in a tent? Even if that's what the covering is. and understand that there are only two places in any human being's person that other people can, that other people, let me rephrase that. There are two areas in any and every human being's person that no one can touch unless you give them permission. And that is your mind and your heart. The only two people, or the only two places that no one can touch other than you and Almighty God is your heart and your mind. Hey, Lyle and Denise, I saw your message yesterday. Please tell Grace for me that she is phenomenal. I saw your message and I got going. Grace is phenomenal. Grace has everything that she needs. I heard a story. A friend at church told this story. He was preaching that day, and his father or grandfather, maybe, I forget, but either his father or his grandfather was in World War II, and they were captured by the Nazis. And they were in this camp, and you know, they were prisoners of war, barbed wires, armed guards, you know, the whole bit, right outside of this little town in Germany. And one day they'd been there for I don't know how many months. And Santi, let me know what time I finish. I think 3:15, is that right? Give me my time. And one day, after several months of being in this prison camp, they woke up and all the guards were gone. The entire unit of guards, every single German soldier was gone, and the gates were wide open. They were free. They were free. They were free. But then fear came into the picture. Is it a trap? Are the people in this town going to come out with pitchforks and shovels and kill us all? They were free. But yet, what did they do? They sat down. They sat down and waited. They waited for the Americans to come, and they did eventually come. I don't know how long that took. But listen, the cage door is open. The prison doors are open. You have to just fly out of that cage. You have to walk out of that camp. And the reason that you can do it is because God said you can. In fact, He purposed you to do this.